5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You gotta be kidding me.
His body lives, the autonomic functions continue. But there is no mind.
Theology matters and will decide which Jesus you worship, the biblical Christ or the false Christ of this world.
You can't handle the truth!
Eternity is a long time to be wrong. You can either believe the Word of God and what the Word of God says, or you can continue to follow your false religion. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism, they are all false religions and false worldviews. There is only one worldview. That is Jesus Christ and what the Bible says.
Fascinating.
All right, welcome to Empowered by Christ Radio. We changed up our intro a little bit. And you know what, Charlie? It is Wednesday. And Charlie is with me on the road. He is traveling currently through Indiana, about 70 miles an hour. And if you noticed, we're kind of switching up our theme from our later, our earlier shows, which were Reformation Wednesday. We're going to kind of put that on a back table for a while and be doing some different type of shows, kind of do some different stuff. So, hey, Charlie, are you there?
I am here and traveling 50 miles an hour now. So I'll make that 55 now. So
hey,
I'll be back
up
to 70 here soon.
You want to hear a wonderful blog talk thing? You want to hear a wonderful blog talk thing? Well, you know how the show wouldn't let me set it up for 2 o'clock, and then it made me for 2:30, and I put it down for an hour and a half, right? Well, guess what it did?
What?
You'll never believe what it did. It only did it for 15 minutes.
So we're on the show right now. So we're only on for till 45.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll be live for 15, but I think once I go in it, I can once it goes down, I can continue it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I can continue it after that point. So
how I love you. So
I don't know. I don't get it.
15-minute podcast, and then guys, if you want, it's 15 minutes live, and if you want the rest of the show, go download us on iTunes.
Yeah, that's basically how we're going to have to play this one, I think, unless it allows me to continue live, which it might. It might allow me to continue live, to continue on. It does give that option in the thing.
Okay, so if you guys do not have us on iTunes and you want to hear all of today's show, because it is going to be a very good show to listen to, especially in today's culture, go and download us on iTunes, Empowered by Christ.
Yeah, it's actually at iTunes. The easiest way to do this would be go to iTunes and Powered by Christ Radio and look for the episode shows with about 150, 147 episodes on it. Or what you can do is you go to Blog Talk Radio, which you're listening this onto right now, and just go to Empowered by Christ Radio through our website and poweredbychrist.org. And you just go to Blog Talk, type in Empowered by Christ Radio, and I'll have a subscribe button there for iTunes. That's, if this doesn't work. Hopefully it'll work and we'll still continue live. So,
even if it does work, even if it does work, Rich, and they don't have our podcast, go get it.
Yeah, go get it. Exactly. Go subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, now, anyways, as you know, we kind of changed up our intro, kind of had fun with that. I did a little Star Trek intro there, kind of had a little bit of fun. And basically on Wednesdays, we're going to be changing up the intro. Charlie here will be releasing his his show coming up shortly here, probably in a month or so. And it's going to be Brennan Unleashed, and that's going to be part of EBC Radio, and that's going to be the Wednesday lineup. Now, yesterday, I know I said I was going to do a show. I could not get to doing it. Unfortunately, just ran out of time. After work, I ended up working at the Shalom Ministries and the dinner line, the soup kitchen line, working and passing out food and stuff, volunteering there. So we kind of were doing that and just could not. Time we got home and everything, just really ran out of time to be able to do that. So apologize for putting that out there that we're going to do a show and did not do a show. Don't like doing that, but things happen, and It is what it is. Now, if you want to get a hold of us, I'm going to give you several ways you can. You can go to our website at empoweredbychrist.org, and you can contact the contact section, and there's several different ways of getting hold of us there. If you're on Facebook, you can follow us and joining us on our page at Empowered by Christ EBC. So navigate over there. That's Facebook/EmpoweredByChristEBC. And you can join our page there. If you're on Twitter, you can do so at follow us at EBC Apologetics. Now, I encourage you to go to our website. Besides going to our website to subscribe to the podcast, just go check out our articles. I know we haven't put up a lot of articles lately. We're going to fix that. We got several in the working. Charlie has several that he's working on, 13 or 14, ready to put out. I have several I'm working on. It's just, again, one of those time things. Not enough time, too much heresy. One of those situations, you know, too much to write about, not enough time to get it up there. So,
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
Well, I want to put this out there. If you guys want, if anyone feels like they would like to write for us, you can email us at ebcempoweredbychrist@gmail.com. And in the subject, put blog writer or something like that. And one of us will get back to you about that.
Right.
So.
Because we are always looking for people to join our team and write, you know, good solid biblical theology on topics, on, you know, biblical theology, worldviews, and all sorts of good topics like that. I mean, we got blogs, we got, you know, you name it. You go there, you check it all out. So we're always looking for people to add on and add to the team to write. So, because a lot of that writing falls on both Charlie, me, and Joe, and honestly, you know, everything falls on between the three of us, and there isn't enough us to divide among all the chores and keep up with everything.
Well, four of us
now. Yeah, four of us. So, but so if you've noticed, and you've been following our Wednesday shows, you most probably have seen that the title's a little different, and we've kind of just come to a decision for now to kind of veer from the topic of talking about the tulip and that, and we're going to revisit it. We're going to come back and talk to it, but about it. But we're going to do a little different topics on Wednesday for now. Right, Charlie? That's kind of what we were...
Well, yeah. We're gonna switch it up. We're going to do a little bit more. We're going to get away from my... my dry, boring teaching, if you will. So I'm going to work on finding some topics that will wrestle my jimmies, so that way there's some excitement on the show. Because I can guarantee you, I know Rich will tell you this, Stephanie will tell you this. When my jimmies get wrestled, I am hilarious to either listen to or watch live. So
yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's not that Charlie's teachings were boring. See, the thing is, what we're dealing with and what Charlie's dealing with is, with when he does the show, he's calling in right now from a phone. Well, this week he's calling in from the phone because he is traveling. Well, normally he calls on the phone because right now he doesn't have internet at his apartment. So he is limited into what he can bring into the show as far as sound clips and all that kind of fun stuff for his topics, and being able to say, hey, go ahead and play that or have that ready to go. Because without the internet, well, I'm on the internet in the studio here, and he's not set up to connect right now to the studio in a virtual way. We can't interface in that component. So it's kind of hard to do and coordinate things and make things lively in that sense when we're talking about topics such as the tulip. So, you know, we're working that out. And once Charlie does get the internet and is able to use that prep time and ability to add and edit things into the discussion, and once he's able to do that, he's going to be able to get some special guests on in that. So on that subject, we're going to revisit that topic. I think that's where we were at, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. And you know, if you guys do want to hear you know, the Tulip explained. I know Reform Pubcast is currently doing a Tulip series. They've had Jeff Durbin on. They've had, who did they just recently have on? Dennis Wilson. What? Yeah. They had to say Wilson on. So, I mean, they have some big name people on. So, they're doing one, coincidentally, after we started doing one. But what can I say?
All right. So, and like I said, right now they're a little more set up to do it. So,
well, they're getting big names. That's the thing we're not getting. So,
all right. But that's not a big deal. I'm not worried about it. So. You know,
I'm not saying that, you know, I'm worried about us not getting big names or something like that. I'm just saying they're getting the big names. They're able to do the things that they are, because those Les and Tanner, I like them. They're great brothers, but theologically. Theologically, they, sorry about that. That was GPS going through my phone. There we go. they're able to do different things because they are theologically, they know what they believe. They're not theologians. They're not apologists. And so they bring on the people who are, and they explain it. But I know you guys have to listen to Rich and I, we're boring, but like Rich said, once I get situated and equipped to do things, I will be able to, in a much greater way, in capacity, to bring you guys better shows. So,
right, and I think also one thing that should be pointed out with, you know, Les and Tanner and, you know, the Reformed Pubcast, they do strictly the Reformed Pubcast.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
We did not start EBC Radio solely for EBC Radio. EBC Radio was an outreach and a shoot off, or, you know, of empowered by Christ Ministries and EBC.org.
Yep. Yeah.
This was exactly. A secondary, just another way to get what we're teaching, what we're saying in our articles out there. This was not our primary function of. They're just two different functions. That's their primary.
Yeah.
That's their nugget. That's, if you want to say, their golden nugget. You know, so they put a lot more, or you know, that's where their focus is. So they put a lot more into, and I'm not that we don't put our time and effort into doing this.
No.
You know, we don't have a chance or whatever you want to say to, you know, do it. But it's just, that's where they focus most of their concentration on. We, on the other hand, focus ours on writing articles, teaching, and, you know, again, they're not theologians, they're not apologists.
Mm.
They're two guys who like to get together and talk about theology and beer. Total different avenue, total different area. So, you know, the two are different, you know.
Yeah, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard that, but now, if you guys are listening and we do go off, we're going to try to stay on because we got about 90 seconds according to Blog Talk, but I'm going to hit the continue. So we should be doing good. And again, if we do cut off and you're listening to this, no big deal. Just go to the empoweredbychrist.org, click the Blog Talk link, and go sign on to the podcast. And it'll be up as soon as the show is done at approximately about 4 o'clock. So it won't be that bad. So.
No,
if we do get cut off, I'm
not.
Just waiting for the link thing up here. So I don't really want to start into our topic here of worldviews, theology, creeds, and confessions and why they matter until actually we get through this little 43 seconds of problem.
Hey, Rich, well,
so we don't get cut off.
I'm at a gas station now. I got to run to the bathroom. So
yeah, I'll mute you.
If we keep this, mute me.
Okay.
If we get 43.
Yep.
If we continue, then we continue. If not, we'll go to, you know, live. But
right.
I will go pee, so mute me.
So, anyway, now Charlie's at his gas station. Well, that's live radio. You know, he's traveling this week, and we got about 9 seconds left here before I have to switch, and hopefully you guys will continue to hear us. And we are still going here, so we are recording. Now, we are still on and recording, so it looks like we are live. Now, as I said, it sounds like and looks like we are live. All right, now, let's just hope this works and we are still and we're not talking for naught. So, now, as I've said, we will have Charlie back on here. He's live. It's live radio. And unfortunately, this is just the way the old ball crumbles. You said that, you know, the cookie crumbles, as you could say, that Mr. Brennan there, he's at a gas station, had to go get gas and a bunch of other stuff and had to take care of using the facilities, I guess you could say. But we will put Mr. Brennan back on here in a minute or so. Now, today, basically what we're going to be talking about is worldviews, theology, creeds, and confessions, and why they matter, and how they're interlinked. I mean, a lot of times in churches today and, you know, where we're going and way churches are going, a lot of times creeds and confessions are kind of left out. And not that I'm not saying that, you know, if your church doesn't have a creed or a confession, that it's a bad church. What I am saying is that they matter. They're important. You know, they show us a guideline, a post. And we're going to be discussing a lot today, you know, just different worldviews and how they are all linked and where those worldviews kind of take us and go. So we'll be looking at that as well. We're going to bring Mr. Brennan back in here in a minute, and hopefully that will be set to go. Now, he's been on hold about 2 minutes, so we'll give them another minute to go. Now, if you want to call us today, you can. You can reach us on our, we're taking calls at area code, 646-564-9793. And you also can call us on the podcast hotline 24/7 at area code 414-369-2242. I just had a little interesting blip come across there. Hey, I got to love modern technology. Well, we're going to go back to Mr. Brennan. I think it's because he's been on hold for so long. So I'll try him here. All right, Mr. Brennan, are you there, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm walking back to the car right now.
Okay, well, that was good timing. I had to guess, you know. Yeah, well, you're sounding better today, better than normal. I guess the Bluetooth worked well.
Is working well, yeah.
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 You know, it's working up to, you know, you're hardly getting any background noise, so that's a good thing. So.
Yes. Well, with taking up, you know, the one that you normally use when you're doing things kind of helped, I think, so.
Yeah. Yep. So. Now, I was just saying, Philly, yeah, and I was just talking about a little bit where we're going today on the our topic of worldviews, theology, creeds, and confessions kind of deal, you
mm-hmm.
know, why they are all interlinked and important, you know. A lot of times in churches today, we get into basically a view of, well, you know, creeds aren't important. They, you know, they box the Bible in. You know, they're archaic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not for us today. They're old fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people, when dealing with creeds and stuff, they think of sitting on wooden pews and, you know, everybody wearing a skirt, or, you know, the girls wearing skirts and the guys dressed up, and you know what I mean, the kind of 18th century kind of Christianity, if you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or early 19th century, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the problems today, where we're at in the church, and the problems we're having with where we're having women pastors, you know, the acceptance of homosexuality, churches just falling astray and, you know, going down the, you know, Pentecostal, you know, environment or road, you know, where they
mm-hmm.
lead to, you know, oh, we hear Jesus talk or we hear God talk, you know, you got to sit and be calm and listen to, you know, talk. And it's like going to their Bible, and you get all these movements like the emergent church movement, where it's not, you know, they don't hold the word of God as inerrant. instead. You know, yeah, it's a guidepost, but, you know, God's still talking to us. And, you know, I think a lot of that is because they've strayed from creeds and confessions and kind of put those on the shelf and said, hey, we don't really need them. You know?
So, irony of what we're talking about this. I just passed a church here in Indiana. It's the Bible Church, Rich. The Bible Church.
The Bible?
There's no other church that teaches the Bible because they are the Bible Church. So, hey, I guess they're Calvinists, huh? I could only
wish. You didn't happen to see a denomination under there, did you?
It's probably non-denominational.
Yeah.
I'm out in the boonies of Indiana, Rich. Come on.
Okay.
With my, you know, they probably have a snake pen in there knowing any, you know.
Now.
Oh, wait, you're right. We're not in Kentucky. There's no snake pens here.
No, not in Kentucky. No. You know, now we're going to get a bunch of hate mail from some Kentuckians. If you want to send hate mail to Charlie for his comment, you can contact him at... Oh,
right,
man. Yeah.
So you did bring up creeds and confessions.
Yeah.
Hold on. Just so everyone
just
knows,
side note, the host of the show is not responsible for Charlie's outbursts.
I'm the host.
Oh, okay. The co-host
so
is not
responsible. I'm not responsible for my outburst, huh?
Yeah. The co-host is not responsible for Brennan's Brennan's outburst. There we go.
So I know I hold to the Westminster Standards, which included in that is the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Shorter and Larger Catechism. I believe you are a WCFer as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
I figured. I know Stephanie is a WCFer. Joe is the only one I think that's LBC 69, isn't he?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So, when we look at creeds, when we look at confessions, mainly when we look at a creed or a confession, the confession is there for us to basically what we have is we have the Bible, which would, for lack of a better term, would say that's like a dead end road, right?
Right.
The creeds and confessions are yellow and white lines on the road. We're in the middle. And
all right.
So the creeds and confessions keep us in line with Scripture.
Correct.
They keep us in line with what Orthodox Christianity is. And when you meet someone who says they're non-confessional, that can get kind of scary because what happens a lot of times is not all your confessionals are completely unorthodox at all. But what happens a lot of times when they say they're non-confessional, they don't have those guidelines. They don't have those things keeping them in line with Scripture. They have themselves allowing themselves to do whatever they desire to do and interpret how they want to interpret. And that, within that worldview, if saying I don't hold to a confession or anything, it is very, very scary in the sense of their theology, driven from that mindset, is a Burger King theology. It's a have it your way theology because you don't have those confessions to keep you in line.
Right.
And a lot of those churches happen to be churches where the pastors are unfit and unqualified for ministry, but they continue in it because there's the lack of confession and the lack of understanding theologically how this worldview of no confession, no creed, none of this actually harms instead of allows you to interpret Scripture more widely, and when it doesn't. So.
Correct.
I'm sorry, I'm just answering a quick question here.
Okay.
So, if you want to
ladies and gentlemen, this is a downfall of me not being in front of a computer because I can't see the chat room. Because normally when I'm in the studio LinkedIn with the studio, Rich and I are both in the chat room. And so the job of ours is whoever the co-host is in charge of answering questions. And so when the host is there, we know we both have the chat room open so we can see if someone's asking questions. We know that person's going to be busy and there may be, like what we just had, dead air. So.
Right. Okay, question answered. Sorry. Right. And, you know, when you meet somebody who's non-confessional, I think a lot of times, though, and this is something I've noticed, I think they're non-confessional because they don't understand what it means because their church hasn't properly, you know, they attend whatever church. Let's just put some denominational church, like the
church
Bible Church. Okay, well, you know, or like what you passed, the Bible Church. Let's just put that out there, okay? We don't know what they teach, so let's just use that as a name. And maybe their pastor and their church, they've been attending there, they go there, and maybe they were born there, or you know what I mean, they were raised there. Your family went there in their second generation or, you know, of goer, you know, of attenders. And they've never been subject to the confessions to understand what confessions and creeds are all about because their church does it. You know what I mean? So they may be saying they're non-confessional, but they still have a strict, let's say that church does teach and stays within orthodoxy, a strict line. But I agree with you that the creeds in that are very important. And, you know, the problems we see today is because, let's say, like, the Bible Church, or, you know, the church that teaches the Bible, doesn't do creeds, doesn't do confessions. It gives no guideposts. It gives no lines to keep, you know, you on that road of orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a tendency to stray off into, you know, way left field or right field or go off in a ditch somewhere because, you know, there isn't that guide. You know, and I think something we need to point out, too, is, you know, it isn't that creeds and confessions are more important than the Word of God. They are like the Westminster Confession. It isn't more important to the Word of God. It's important because it highlights the Word of God.
Exactly.
And follows and
exactly.
flows into orthodoxy. It is not because it's, you know, above the Word of God or, quote, even co-equal to the Word of God. The Word of God is above it. But it's important because it points back to the Word of God. If your confession or your creed doesn't do that, then it's not a orthodoxal confession or creed.
Mm.
You know, I think that's just something, you know, we should point that out just because I've heard arguments, you know, and I'll play devil's advocate here, that, oh, you guys with the, you know, the creeds and the confessions, that you care more about that than the Word of God. That's why I don't want to attend those churches, because it's always creeds and confessions and not about Jesus and the Word and doing things. And, you know, well, I think that's a false dichotomy. You know, it comes from a lack of understanding and maybe a lack of or a bad experience somebody had with a church like that. I mean, because, you know, there are churches that put a lot of emphasis or maybe too much emphasis on that creed and confession and not enough about, you know, doing what Jesus says to do, the Great Commission. And I'm not saying going out and being a social justice, you know, Rick Warren type or, you know what I mean, you know, the emergent social justice, you know, or I say communism in disguise, you know, type of church.
Uh-huh.
But in other words, be more of a social, you know what I mean? Following the Great Commission and stuff. There, you know, it can lead to sometimes that, and maybe that's why I think people do have that reaction to that and why churches have gotten away from that. But,
well, and I know, there's a good brother that you and I both know, that Stephanie even knows, who is a non-confessional Baptist. but he's solid in his theology. There's a few things that, you know, he believes are not confessional, that are a little unorthodox, but it doesn't make him a heretic. And,
right,
like, one of the things he believes in, he doesn't believe sanctification is a continuing process. But I would disagree with that and say that we are constantly being sanctified into the image of Christ. And, you know, and I would, you know, I would put forth the argument that he's justification and sanctification, he's conflating. But that's a different story.
Right, exactly. Exactly, you know, and that's the thing. Just because you don't hold to a creed or confession or you're non-confessional doesn't mean you're a heretic, you know, that you're a heretic, you know.
I think there's very few Orthodox non-confessional believers out there. I think they are kind of few and far between. I think a lot of mostly the non-confessional people are way off in, I think they're either in Canada or in Mexico in the sense of their orthodoxy. You know, they're way out there. They're not. But one of the big things, though, Rich, that I've you know, seen is, at the end of the day, to be honest with you, is, the biggest thing is,
right,
it's not really that people are like, oh, I don't believe in the confession. They go after the creeds. They say, oh, we don't believe in creeds. We don't have creeds. Aren't necessary. We have the Bible. Well, that in and of itself is a creed. So you have a creed.
Right, exactly.
So sometimes it's kind of like, really?
Yeah, you're sitting there and going, okay, you got the creed of the non-creeds.
Yeah.
If you really want to get down to it, because your non-creed is just as much of a creed as a creed is a creed.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, like you said, that's a lot of time, you know? And I would say, you know, it's out of this that, you know, I'm actually having this discussion right now, just as we're talking. This is why there's a little dead air between what you're saying and I'm saying, is because somebody, I posted our show, because, you know, we posted a bunch of groups in Facebook when we do shows for people to listen. Well, one of the groups we posted is creation versus evolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, what does the subject have to do with, you know, creation versus evolution? Well, in a broader sense, it does. Because we're dealing with worldviews, theology, creeds, and confessions. And as I'm addressing in this topic, if this person's listening, I would like them to call in. You can do so at 646-546-9793. And I'd love to have this discussion with you on the air. And I'm sure Charlie would be intrigued to join in on this. But they're basically, oh, this really doesn't have anything to do with the topic of creation versus evolutionism. And honestly, it does. In a more roundabout, bigger picture, it does. When we're dealing with creationism, well, that's easy for me to say today, versus evolution, it's a worldview. Those are two worldviews. Out of that worldview, your worldview comes from your theology. Your theology will stem from, if you're confessional or non-confessional, and be limited to either your confessions or your non-confessions or your non-creed or your creeds. So they are, in a bigger picture, interdependent, interlinked, and important, even in that debate. Because if you have the wrong theology, the wrong worldview, you're going to have the wrong Jesus, and you're going to be worshiping the Jesus of Tim Keller and Bio Logos and all those who believe that evolution, and on a macro sense, and we have to be how we define this between micro and macro, are off worshiping, and, you know, can somehow think that, you know, God made evolution to work with his created process, which it simply is not true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, theology, this topic does have something to do with that very subject. Because at the core, it's your theology that determines your worldview. And since we're talking about that, well, it does.
Yes.
See, I think, again, these are where people get their little blinders on. And it's not to say anything against this person here in this thing, this Chris guy and on the Facebook page. But they get their blinders on and they get so focused on the one subject of creatism versus evolution that they can't see anything else outside that circle. And they can't see how the bigger picture is interlinked. And that's why I think it's so important when we're on a topic of worldview and theology. You know, if your worldview, and it's fine to have these debates about what this person wants, you know, this group, about, you know, evolution versus creation, you know, creationism. And that's fine. That's good. We should be able to defend why we believe what the Bible says about and what, you know, Genesis says. I'm for that.
Yeah.
And we should have a solid reason why we believe, you know, that God created the earth in literal 6 days, rested on a seventh, versus an evolutional view that equals humanism, you know, and, you know, equals basically is humanism in disguise. And the problem being is that these people get their little blinders on and get so focused in there, they forget about the one important thing, even in that debate of having. The most important thing, because you're being an apologist at that point, because you're defending the Bible, you're defending the Word of God. You need to be pointing. Your theology has to, and your worldview has to be ultimately pointing back towards Christ. And ultimately, not just to shut the evolutionist up, and let's just say any worldview you're dealing with, Roman Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever, you know, whatever you want to take, not just to shut them up, but ultimately to point them towards Christ and the gospel and to give the gospel. If you're not doing that in your apologetic approach at the end of the day, in your worldview, in your theology, or whatever you're doing, like this person is on Facebook, if you're not pointing them towards Christ, and it's just to, hey, look, I shut that evolutionistic person up, or humanistic, or whatever, then shut up, please. I'm going to be frank here, and stop defending the Bible because you're not doing Christ any good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe that sounds a little harsh. Maybe it sounds a little tough, but, you know, it's the truth. You're doing more damage than good. You know, like I said, I invite this person to call in. You know, give us a call. Area code 646-564-9793, you know, or call a podcast hotline if you want. If you don't want to be on live air, you want to have your view on there, you can call us at 369-2242. I get my numbers mixed up. Gotta love that. So, 22's in that thing. But I just wanted to bring that up because I'm going back and forth here on this and, you know, kind of discussing this with this person. And I think it's important. You know, what do you have to say on it? I mean, you know.
Well, when dealing with creationism versus evolutionism, it's very critical to our groundwork of our theological understanding of who God is. It's, you know, if we take the view of Tim Keller. In the sense that we believe in a theistic evolution, an evolution that is at the micro level in where God theistically designed and created and then allowed things to evolve and come to what it is, that really gives a view and an image of God in my opinion, and I think in many Orthodox opinions, that we really are weakening who God is and his abilities to create, that he can only create a groundwork fundamental understanding of something and not create a full exposited being, if you will. And so it really, I think, is going to determine at the end of the day what we know and understand of who God is. And that obviously will come down to our theology. And if we have the orthodox view that God created man as man is, what we have then is a theology that has God as being this all-powerful creator who can just orate things into existence and orate them into existence in full creation of what he has spoken. And it's scripture says, and it, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It wasn't God, you know, God didn't say, let there be light, and there was this little, there was this match, and then it evolved into a campfire, and then it evolved into a bonfire, and then it evolved into a forest fire. No, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It encompassed the whole entire creation with brightness, with light, with understanding, with this, you know, and then God also said, let there be dark, you know, and it did, you know, it's not the reverse of what, you know, what I just said, you know, where it started off as, you know, a campfire, you know, a match, and it grew, and it doesn't devolve in from being, and from it being, you know, a forest fire down to a bonfire down to a campfire down to a match for darkness. And so when we don't, when we have a very, when we hold to the theistic evolution, that's going to change our worldview. We're going to look at things in a way that theologically won't line up with a lot of things in Scripture. And people like Timothy Keller have a hard time arguing in Genesis some things like creation of Adam and creation of Eve. I mean, we see in Genesis that God took a rib out of Adam and created Eve out of Adam. Well, we don't see that. I mean, in Timothy's Keller view, it's going to be hard to say for someone to sit there and be like, well, how then do we, you know, if this is what the scripture says, but you say that they evolve, where there's a breakdown there in the theology. And to understand that and to have a worldview in which you limit the orientation of God in creating something, it really plays onto who God is. Is he truly sovereign then? That will break down, that's your groundwork. The groundwork of God's creation is the groundwork of our theology going forward. And to limit
right.
him in one aspect is to limit him from there on out. And we really can't do that
right.
if we're going to have a strong theology built on a strong biblical worldview.
Correct. And it, right, and it, that's why the two are so interlinked. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not saying this to be mean to the, you know, that person on Facebook. And Chris, if you're out there listening to this podcast or whatever you tune into this, please call us. You know, our next show live or whatever you have a discussion. I'm not saying what I'm saying to be mean, but it ultimately is important. You know, it all ultimately. The guy responded here. Let's see if he says anything. Basically, what we're saying is a true Scotsman's fallacy.
How is what we're saying a true Scotsman's fallacy?
Yeah, exactly. I, you know, this person obviously, you know.
Okay.
You know,
tell him to call
yeah.
in. Tell him on Facebook to
have.
Call
he,
in.
He said he can't call in.
He can't call in because he can't stand on his position, or he can't call in because he physically can't call in.
That's what I'm wondering. He said he can't call in. So I don't know. But how is it? I'm going to answer him off Facebook offline here once you start getting. I mean, I can't type and do, you know, five things at once here.
I'm
going to
go
on three screens.
Okay. I have my soapbox set up. I'm going to step up on my soapbox real quick.
Okay, then I'll answer
it. It is so aggravating to me when people sit there and critique us and tell us that we're doing something wrong, or they sit there and tell us that we are creating this type of a fallacy or that type of a fallacy, or we're doing this or that, or we're wrong in this, that's not what the Bible says. But when we tell them to call in and to talk to us about this, about that, they sit there and say, oh, I can't. Give me a break. If you're going to sit there and do it, you're going to sit there and tell us that what we're saying is unbiblical, then call it. Don't allow yourself to say these things and then go run and hide. That's what you're doing. You're hiding. Because you know what you're saying, you're going to be able to hide behind the computer monitor. You're not going to be able to call in. You won't call in. You have no intentions of calling in. And at the end of the day, you just look like a dog returning to his vomit. And if you're going to sit there and, you know, accuse us of things, call in and do it. Allow us to defend ourselves. Don't do it on Facebook. You know, grow a pair of theological pants and put them on. You know, and if you're going to, you know, honestly, it's just so aggravating. And it's not just our show. James White gets this all the time. People sit there and tell him he's wrong and this. He says, call in then. Let's talk about this. And they don't. They just show that what they're talking about, they don't understand it, or they're not willing to defend what they believe because they don't have a leg to stand on. And it's irritating. It's frustrating. We have no problem taking the time out of a show to dialogue and discuss these issues and topics with you when you bring up these things.
I just answered them. So.
But, you know, Rich, it is just so aggravating when they sit here and do this, and then, oh, I can't call in.
I know.
And don't waste our time. Don't waste our time in a Facebook group. Don't waste our time in chat. Seriously. Don't waste our time.
Well, I just said, how
if
is this a
you
true Scott
do that,
and
send us an email. Well, but send us an email then and say, hey, you know, I listened to this show. I disagree with you here, here, and there. Do it in an email.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just said, how is this?
You know, if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna stand up on your soapbox and you're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get your theological cap on and be like, I'm a theologian and I'm gonna go and challenge these people, then call it. If you want to do it, be an adult about it and call it. Don't.
I just said,
Facebook.
I asked him. Yeah. I just basically asked him. I said, how is this a Scotsman, true Scotsman's theo? You know. How is it not important? How is this a Scotsman? Let's see. He just answered.
You know, I'm going to say right now, if you think the creation and evolution argument has nothing to do with your worldview and theology, you have no clue, no understanding whatsoever of what theology even is. Creation of this world is the fundamental understanding of God and who he is. It's the starting groundwork. That is why it's in Genesis. That's why it's Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2,
hey,
for Pete's sake.
Here. This is what it is. Okay. Here. Yeah, this is what I said, because he's, this is a no true Scotsman, right? And I said, how is this a no true Scotsman? I said, so the determination of your theology, which determines your worldview, which then hence determines your position on the subject, isn't important. Instead of debating me here on Facebook, why don't you call us live at our show at 646, you know, I get the phone number, right? I said, if you can defend what you're saying. And he goes, I'll pass. Then he goes, oh, I'm not a theist. So furthermore, plenty of Christians accept evolution. So I just answered him back. I said, nice cop out.
You know, I
agree with you. I have no patience for people like that. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't. It's like you saying I'm wrong, but you can't tell me another position why I'm wrong, or that there's a third, or you saying there's a third option or isn't an option, but you say there's a third option, but you can't tell me what that option is. It's like, you know, people that say, oh, you're wrong on this position, but you can't tell me why I'm wrong and what the alternative position is, why you're right. Why they're right.
Yeah.
I agree. I get so angry at that. I mean, I have no tolerance for those type of people. I just don't.
if you if you don't understand how creationism versus evolutionism plays on your theological understanding of the rest of Scripture from Genesis chapter 1 to the end of Revelation, you have no business discussing theology whatsoever.
Right.
You need to go back and understand Genesis, read the Gospel, understand how the writers of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, understood God in creation and the rest of Scripture in formulating the theology that comes forth that is God-breathed within the New Testament, and to really, really dig into what you believe. Because if I heard you right, Rich, he says that there's many Christians who believe in evolution, right?
Right.
There is no Christian who believes in evolution.
If they're truly a Christian, they're not going to believe in evolution. I will totally agree with you.
Theistic
on that.
Evolution,
and
theistic evolution.
Right.
If it is not a heresy, it is drawing a very thin line of it not being a heresy.
Yeah, exactly. Because ultimately, theistic evolution, and you know, this is why worldviews matter, and this falls right into our topic today. So this is actually a great sideline that segue into this. You know, I actually have to thank this guy for leading us down this road, because ultimately, theistic, now I can't talk, but theistic evolution is you're right, you know, it's a slap in God's face. You're basically saying to a holy creator, yeah, you don't matter, my opinion matters more. You know, and it falls back basically all the way from Genesis to Revelation, but also in the New Testament, specifically, I believe, into Romans 1. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy says, no, I have no desire to deal with fundamentalists unless you want to present evidence of young earth, especially when I'm at work. Well, then what are you doing? Playing with Facebook
Why
at
are
work.
You on Facebook?
You know, Facebook at work. Shouldn't you be giving your employer his earned dues? He's paying you to work.
Hmm.
You know, it's basically
a
cop. Basically, I have no desire to be a fundamentalist.
Is he assuming that we're all young Earth? Creationist?
I guess so, from what he's saying. You know, and we're fundamentalists. Well, thank you for calling me. I guess if you want to define fundamentalist, that we believe what the Word of God says and what it teaches and what the Word of God is, and you know that the Logos is the final authority and for you know what we believe and where we go to. Well, I guess then we're fundamentalists. But you know,
there's two basic theological definitions of fundamentalism. There's the fundamentalist who believes in the fundamental truth of Scripture and what lies therein. And then you have your fundamentalist Baptist who say no drinking, no dancing, yada, 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 the legalist.
Rich and I
are fundamentalists in the sense of us being that we adhere and believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and we believe them, we practice them, and we carry them out. And outside of that, honestly, thank you for calling us a fundamentalist. I'm glad you recognize that we understand and hold to the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and that being a literal seven-day creation.
Yeah, I'm going to answer this
creation, because on the seventh day, God left.
Here's the thing. This is a typical example of another person that's called to the carpet, and when you give them the platform, besides being behind the keyboard, where everybody wants to be big man, you know, behind the keyboard, because, you know, your fingers are super strong, usually stronger than your brain, you know, and they can say whatever they want, but when you give them the opportunity to actually call in to give a defense of what they believe, well, then they don't want to deal. You know, they can't, you know, they want to, you know, basically go ad hominem attack and call you names, and you attacked a man against a man versus the argument. you know.
At the end of the day, Rich.
Yeah.
Hey, are you there? All right.
Yeah, I'm here.
At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, we called him to the car, but he's not going to call in. We know he's not going to call in.
Right.
At the end of the day, he's going to have to answer to God and why he believes in evolution. He's going to have to answer
right.
to the Creator. He's going to have to answer why, when he was challenged on his faith, why he ignored the commandment in Scripture to give a defense of your faith. He's going to have to answer to these things. You know, if Perry Noble called one of us to the floor, you better bet you we would be on the phone, and we would defending what we believe and why. You know.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, Perry Noble doesn't pay attention to his critics enough to call them out. He just writes them off.
Right. You know, that's a thing, you know, exactly. I mean, it just comes down to it. And ultimately, this guy, I really don't care if this guy calls in or doesn't. I'm just saying, I wish the guy would discuss this.
I wish
him,
he would, because...
Ultimately, you're right. He's going to not answer to us, but to God. And he's going to primarily have to answer when God goes, why did you ignore my word? And when it said 6 days, you said, no, it didn't. You said, you know, you believed a humanistic and you ignored my authority. And, you know, I'm not judging this person's salvation or not, because I don't know. You know, I don't know this guy from anybody else on Facebook and in a lot of these groups. You know, I can't say whether this guy is or isn't, saved. All I can say is, like, what you're saying is that he's going to have to answer to God.
Yep.
For what he, you know, why he believes what he believes, and if it's contrary to the word of God, which obviously it seems to be. I mean, you know, from what he's posting. And the fact that, you know, to me it's, you know, again, a cop-out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And basically, I'm going to tell him, I totally understand, big man behind the keyboard, but when challenged to actually call into a show and defend your position, you can't. That's fine. I understand.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to answer it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's ultimately, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. That's where, you know, this is a perfect example of why theology, why the world views, and, you know, all why it's so important, and basically why creeds and confessions. Let's say if this person is Christian, I bet this person, if they are a Christian, I don't know if they are or aren't. You know, I'm not judging, you know. Let's say they are. I bet you they don't hold to any creeds or confessions. Because they wouldn't be at where they're at, believing theistic evolution, if they did hold to a creed, biblical creeds or confessions.
Yeah.
Because there isn't room for that allowance. And this is why it's so important, even in a reform, even in the YYR, young, you know, that they hold two creeds and confessions. I'm not, you know, like we've had this discussion, and we're going down worldviews and the YYR. We don't 100% agree with them. You know, we're reformed, but we're not young, restless reform. You know what I'm saying? The YYR, you know, we're not that. You know, we're reformed. We're traditional reformed. And this is, I have found a lot with the young and restless, you know, reformed camp, that a lot of them throw those creeds and confessions out the window. Or they bend them, or they don't hold to them, or they, you know. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not doing a true Scott, you know, I don't want to be accused of, you know.
Yeah.
Scotsman fallacy, but I'm saying I've found a lot of them not to hold to the creeds and confessions, or to allow them to, you know, bend them, or, well, when they're applicable, but not, you know, and this is where they run into so many problems, you know, dealing, you know, where they get off the, you want to say, you know, the straight and narrow and go down these left, you know, off the ditch somewhere playing in the mud, because, you know, they fall and they don't have these creeds and confessions to holding mm-hmm. them in line in Scripture, so they get off and
yeah.
associate themselves with the supposedly reformed Tim Keller.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was really
yeah.
reformed, he wouldn't be preaching and teaching what he, you know, is doing.
Well, he is.
You know,
Timothy Keller is a YRR person.
Right.
And he won't admit it. He will say that he is confessionally reformed, and he's not. Nowhere in
right.
Westminster do we see this. You know, nowhere do we see
right.
that
if
in Heidelberg or the Three
Reformed. Westminster confessions, he wouldn't be where
mm-hmm.
he's teaching what he's teaching.
Well, the Westminster standards don't adhere to it. And his own Three Forms of Unity, because he is a Dutch reformer in the RCA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know. I think he may be PCA. He's either PCA, RCA, or CRC. I don't remember which one. But even so, Westminster standards or the Three Forms of Unity don't adhere to this theistic evolution.
Right.
Idea.
That's
so.
Right. And he's going against the very own creeds and confessions that, you know, he supposedly holds to, which would keep him in line and out of.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, several years ago.
How much more time do we actually have on the show?
Well, we're going at an hour. It's 3:30, and
okay.
we are on podcast record right now. So,
okay.
which switched over and
We actually are at Stephanie's house. So, do you want to cut it at an hour
okay.
and we can pick it up? Do you want to continue this tomorrow?
Yeah, if you want to do that,
we can do
fine.
A 2-hour show tomorrow.
Yeah, let's continue this tomorrow and actually
okay.
have live actual. Do it, and we'll do it at 4, if that's all right with you.
That's fine with me, because I will
okay.
be able to be online, too, so I can be in studio.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's okay. do that, and I'll set it up once I get out of here. So we're going to cut this early, because okay. obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you realize we had some technical difficulties. And I will, you know, we'll continue this conversation, part deuce of, you know, worldviews, theology, creeds, and confessions. So it is so important.
Yep.
I think it is a warranted 2-day topic. And you're
mm-hmm.
at Stephanie's house. You're at your destination. So, you
yep.
know, with everything that was going on, we kind of ran into trouble. We knew we were going to cut it kind of early. So
yep.
Why don't we get out of here, and we will talk more about this tomorrow. Let's just find the ending here. Hopefully Blog Talk will allow us to play that today, huh?
Yeah.
You know? So there it goes. Hopefully. Come on. All right, well, that's a wrap for this show. But remember, the conversation doesn't have
it
to
works.
Stop here. Make sure to join us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC and on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure you stop by our website at empoweredbychrist.org, where you can check out our latest articles, our blogs, and past archives of this show. Now, if you want to contact us, feel free to send us an email at ebc4u@live.com. Or, if you have a question you want to ask us directly about this show or past shows, feel free to call us and leave us a voicemail at area code 414-369-2242. Well, thank you for listening, and God bless.